Welcome to Get Right for Sunday, a podcast designed to help you prepare for Sunday and beyond. I am Pastor Wright, and each week I have a conversation exploring the Bible readings for this upcoming Sunday. Join us as we discuss how the lessons are applied to our daily life in Christ. Welcome to Get Right for Sunday. I am Pastor Wright, and today we're going to look at the readings for the second Sunday in Advent. And a reminder that Advent is all about preparation. We are preparing ourselves, we're preparing our families, the church, and the world to receive and celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is also the humble reminder that he promises to come again. And with this, the preparing for his return or his second advent, his second coming, we need to remember that we need to hear preaching. We need to hear proclamation. The gospel of Christ breaking into our time, our space, our flesh, rescuing us from sin, death, and hell. This is to be proclaimed. This is what the sermon is about. You can have a didactic sermon, which means it's a teaching sermon. You can have a persuasive sermon. You can have a narrative sermon. There's lots of formats and there's lots of forms for a sermon. But at the end of the day, is it proclaiming Christ to and for the sinner? I've heard a couple of pastors tell me, making statements, did Jesus die for this sermon? And that doesn't mean that it was so bad that Jesus had to die to forgive the sermon or the lack of sermon, but did you give Jesus to the people hearing? Are you talking about Jesus or are you giving Jesus? And I think that's a very interesting way of looking at a sermon, and especially in light of the texts for this coming Sunday. It is about John the Baptist and the promises of what is to come in and through the coming Messiah. The beginning, or St. Mark, which actually begins the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I love this statement because we throw out, to shorten it, the gospel. But the gospel is Jesus Christ. It is his life. It is his work. It is his death. It is his resurrection. It is his ascension. It is all of him to and for you. And so that statement is just huge, laying this out in the beginning. And then St. Mark continues, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This sets up the ministry, the work of the coming Messiah, Jesus. And here we see a lot of things happening. One of the first things we see is that John the Baptist is preaching on the outskirts of Jerusalem. He's at the River Jordan. He is in the wilderness, however you want to say it. And we see that the proclamation of the gospel, the work of God, is outside of the holy city of Jerusalem. Notice this is not being preached from the temple. This is not being preached by the Pharisees, the chief priests, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Levites. It's not happening in Jerusalem. they're still in their law-based understanding of the work of God. They're still looking to appease God. They're still looking to pay through sacrifice, good works, the fulfillment of food laws, ceremonial laws, and so on and so forth. And this is what has been passed down. This is how they understand how to interact with God. It seems as if it's all transactional. I mess up, I pay for it through sacrifice, through prayer, through cleansing, through whatever, to make God happy. And as we know, Jesus comes to turn that upside down on its head. He comes to be the sacrifice. He comes to be the one pure, holy, innocent, righteous, and lays that upon us as our substitute. He does what we need to do. And so, again, this is starting outside of Jerusalem. And we hear John the Baptist, who's clothed in camel's hair, leather belt, eating locusts and honey. This seems odd. It seems like there's a weirdo at the river. Why would we listen to him? But notice, he attaches himself. And when I say he, this is through the work of the Holy Spirit. He attaches himself to the prophecy that he is the voice in the wilderness, the one calling out to the people, the one who is going to be the messenger, the herald of the promised Messiah. He is the one to make straight the path of the Lord. This is amazing because this is Elijah. And he is to do this mighty work. And again, we see this happening outside of Jerusalem. And just to connect some dots for you, that when we have the promise of Jesus, who comes and lives perfectly for us, where is he crucified? He is crucified outside of Jerusalem. He is brought into Jerusalem where he is convicted, where he is tried, where the very people he comes to save yell out and cry out, crucify him, let his blood be upon us. And it really is, because now we see that through baptism, you and anybody else is connected to a death like his, for a resurrection like his. And if he is alive in the resurrection, then we too will have that resurrection. And this is what the voice in the wilderness is calling out. He's telling you to repent. And I really like this idea that repentance is a part of the gospel. It is not a part of the law, because the law is something that is commanded of you to fulfill. And we have the freedom, the gift, to repent, because now we understand who we are in relation to God. We are fallen, we are sinful, we are rebellious, and we repent. We turn away from this because we are somebody, something different. We are the redeemed, we are the forgiven, we are the ones who are baptized to be partakers of Christ Jesus. And this is what John the Baptist is setting up. He is calling everybody to repent. And this baptism is no less a baptism of forgiveness of sins, the very baptism that you, dear listener, have. Because this is your connection. This is your bestowing of the Holy Spirit upon you. This is the work of God. We don't come to the waters of baptism as if we're doing something. Look, God, I dedicate myself to you. Look how great I am. No, this is us in our helplessness. This is us in the depths of our sin and death, and God reaching into that very sinful life, that very rotten death, and pulls you out. That is what John the Baptist is preaching. And this bestowing and giving of the Holy Spirit, that is what baptism gives. And we see the promise all laid out for us. Throughout the Old Testament, you hear and see that God will give the waters of the living waters. He will give you a flood of the Spirit. All of this is so that you will know what you are given in baptism. We hear such things like Isaiah 44. Thus says the Lord, I will pour water upon the thirsty and streams upon the dry. I will pour out my Spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your descendants, so that they may grow like grass, like the willows in the water brooks. And we see again, even in the Old Testament, the foreshadowing of this baptism, the baptism that you have received, the lavishing of God's washing away of sin, of making you right before God. And the joy of this is we have John the Baptist still preaching to us these gifts, and he is preaching that the one who is coming. And what I love about this is that we get to see this in hindsight. We know that Jesus has come. We're talking about Jesus in this text about being 30 years old, and this is the start of his ministry. And John is introducing him to the world, so to speak. And he is already connecting people in repentance to the life that they get to have in Christ our Lord. What's great about this is, again, going back to the Old Testament, specifically our Old Testament lesson for this Sunday, it is Isaiah 40, and we hear God speaking through the prophet, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare ends and that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hills be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And again, this beautiful text, comfort, comfort my people. This is what Jesus comes to do. He is delivering the comfort of the promise of the wrath of God being taken away, that the love of God is bestowed, that peace, peace of God, which passes all human understanding, is bestowed upon the likes of you and me. And it is here that we now get to hear the proclamation of the gospel. We get to hear that our sins are forgiven, life is restored, so that you now get to live in this new life. What does this new life look like? It is a life of service. It's a life of work in Christ. It is the works of God in Christ Jesus, which have already been prepared for you, being done in your participation, in your life of Christ. That is why this crying out in the wilderness, we get to be reminded that living on this side of heaven is like living in the wilderness. We may have times of drought when it is hard to find the fullness of the gospel. It's hard to find peace in this world. But we know that the proclamation of the gospel is given, so that we get to hear and have our thirst for righteousness satisfied in the promises of what has already happened and what is to happen. That is the resurrection. That is the fullness of Christ's promises being delivered to you and for you. And so while we live in this time of wilderness, we get to find bits of respite, rest. This is Sabbath. This is going to church. When you enter into the church doors, and especially here at Holy Cross, when you enter the four glass doors, you enter into a new world. This is the divine service, where God promises to deliver his treasures to you. And of course, these treasures are the forgiveness of sins, holy absolution, his body, his blood, baptism, the word preached, proclaimed, delivered to you. And you get to be the hearers and receivers of this. And this doesn't mean that you don't do anything. In fact, the participants of the divine service, those who sit in the pew, you are doing the greatest work. You are the ones receiving the work of God, divine service, God serving you. And it's not that you kick your feet up and let God wait on you. It is He brings you the treasures of heaven. He brings you His love. And through His work of faith in you, you receive it. You partake in it. You live in His kingdom, even when you leave the church. This is all done so that you get to know whose you are, and who you are, and what you are. And again, this is what John the Baptist is preaching. This is what he is pointing to in the gospel lesson. For even Peter, in the epistle lesson, he has some things to point to this. This is 2 Peter chapter 3. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but in patience towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And this is the will of God, that all should repent, that all should believe, that all should receive the gifts of God in and through faith. And we get to see that this life that we live in the wilderness of this world is one of patience. And it's patience on our side, but patience on God's side. Because you know how bad this world is. Your life is an example of it. Your frustrations, your heartaches, your pains, your sufferings. We live in a corrupt world, and we, unfortunately, contribute to the corruption of this world. But He who is patient and faithful, our Lord God, continues to do what? Offer you life, offer you forgiveness, offer you peace, offer you salvation, offer you the promises of forever in Him. This is what it is for our Lord to act slowly. And it seems slowly because I'm thinking, hey, Jesus, it's been some 2,000 years since you promised to come back. Do you plan on coming back anytime soon? And it seems that we're impatient. But our Lord operates on the timeline of eternity. And so days, times, minutes, hours, whatever, have no bearing to Him. And He, out of His good grace, continues to provide time for us so that we can not only repent, but we have the sure and certain hope and confidence that salvation is ours. So, dear listener, as you continue to live in the wilderness of this world, hold on to the truth that the gospel, Jesus Christ, is yours. His gift lives in you. Repent and live. Repent and believe. Repent and hold on to the salvation that has been given to you through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, through preaching, and in and through all that is delivered by God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you for listening to Get Right for Sunday. I know that your time is valuable, and of all the things that you could have watched or listened to, you have chosen to deepen your biblical understanding with Get Right for Sunday. Would you take a moment to give a 5-star rating of this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform? This actually helps others to be able to find Get Right for Sunday. Again, thank you for your time, your prayers, and support.